Hey everyone, welcome to this bonus episode of Romance in Color. I am one half of the duo here at Romance in Color, Tati Richardson, your resident romance writer and reader, hoping that you all are excited about this bonus episode just like we are. It is a podcast crossover episode with author Olivia Linden. We're so excited to talk to Olivia, who's been in the romance game probably about 10 years now, and we're so excited to talk about her work, her new focus, her new series, and her take on the landscape of Romancelandia in general. So you all sit back, relax, and enjoy this bonus episode and this podcast crossover episode with author Olivia Linden. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a bonus edition of Romance in Color. I am here with indie author and my TikTok friend, Olivia Linden. I'm so excited to have her on the podcast. How are you doing, Olivia?
I'm good. What's up, friend? How you doing?
I am great. So glad to have you on the podcast. So first, I want to ask you the question that I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, which is, when did you fall in love with romance? And what was the very first romance book that you ever read?
Okay, so I fell in love with romance very early, like probably too early. Had no business even thinking about romance. I was somewhere between, let's just say, 9 and 11. And my mother had a bookshelf with all these books on it. She had gone past the library that threw out a bunch of books, so she just brought them home. And one of the books on the shelf was an author, Rosemary Rogers. So I looked at it, and it was one of them, you know, old, they call them the bodice rippers, right? But just, I had looked at all the books in this particular author. She had three of her books. So I'm like, okay, you know, what this lady write about? Girl, the name of the book was Sweet Savage Love. And
oh my,
for real. This book took you on a journey, like a wagon train journey. And then they went all over in Mexico and she got kidnapped and he had to get her back. It was a mess. But I loved that book. I mean, I've read that book so many times throughout my life. And I think that that book, and then I read that author, other two books from her, and it's just like something happened. Something happened here, and I was just like,
So it changed her brain chemistry. Definitely changed her brain chemistry. So, who is Olivia before she became a romance author? Who is Olivia? What did she do professionally? Where is she from? You know, who are you before?
So before all that, so I'm born in New York. I was born in New York, but I grew up in Texas. I lived in Texas for 8 years when I was younger. And then I moved back to New York as a teenager. So when I wrote my first book, I was working for a government contractor. And I think I probably just needed a little bit more romance in my life at that time, because, you know, that was just like straight up, you know, business. And this idea had been with me, you know, but I kept going back to it. But I'm a mom. I'm a very romantic person. So I think it was just inevitable that I would eventually write a book, because you look up any romance trope, that's me. Okay.
You're like all of them.
I'm all of them right there. So, yeah. But I've always been a reader. I've always loved reading. I've been reading since I was a kid. So that's really what kind of gave me the little confidence. Like, you could do this. You know, you could definitely write a book.
Okay. So, I know you said professionally, you're a government contractor. And what made you decide to, okay, I have this confidence, I have this idea, I'm gonna write this book? What made you switch from, okay, romance reader, to I'm gonna write this romance book and put it out there to the world?
So the idea came first. And I kept writing it down over a period of 5 years. I kept getting like little snippets and little scenes. and I would write it down. But I think it was about, it was, yeah, it was 2012. And, you know, that was a little bit after Twilight, and a lot of these like authors that are big now were just coming out. And I read a book, and I really finished that book. I was like, girl, you could do this. Like, you could definitely do this. Why aren't you doing it? And I let a friend of mine at work read parts of the manuscript that I had started, and she came to my desk. She was like, girl, where is the rest of it? I'm like, there is no rest of it. This is all I wrote. She was like, well, I need more. And the book literally was just me coming to work and giving her a couple more chapters every day. So I would go home at night, write a couple more chapters, bring them to work the next day until I finished it. And she was like, so you're gonna put this out, right? And I'm like, I guess. And so, you
And
know,
what book was that you were like,
that
okay,
was Jaded Hearts. That was my
Jaded
first,
Hearts.
yeah, my
Yeah.
first
So tell
baby.
us a little bit about Jaded Hearts. What is the premise of that book? And you know, what was it about that particular plot and those tropes that kind of drove you to write this book? Did you have the tropes in mind before you wrote the book, or did you have like just an overall idea about the book before you wrote it?
I just had an overall idea. I had no idea about tropes. As much as I had read books, like I wasn't really part of like the online book community. So I didn't know about tropes. I wasn't even thinking about the genre. It was literally like these three characters, all of their names started with J. The book was Jaded Hearts because they were all jaded in love in some type of way. So the main character, her name is Jade.
Very on the
Jade, yeah.
nose.
So she basically she grew up with her grandmother. Her mother kind of just dropped her off, and her brother grew up with the grandmother. Grandmother passes, she winds up taking care of the brother since she's like 18, goes to college, meets this guy who kind of helps her raise her brother. They get engaged. And by the time she hits like 23, 24, that relationship is just very stale. And it was always more of like a codependent situation than a, you know, we're in love, we should be together. And her aunt gives her this offer, like, hey, come back to New York, you know, and I got this job for you, just maybe you just need a fresh start. She had lost her job in Florida, so she was just like, all right. So she goes to New York, and like the first week she's there, she runs into this guy, and come to find out he works for her cousin. Her cousin manages a boutique, and the guy owns the boutique. And he's, Cuban and spicy, and he's chasing her, all around town. And she's just like, this is not what I need in my life right now. But of course, she can't resist him. So, you think, oh, here's the romance. And then something happens with him, and he has to go. He's gone. So now she's all upset. Something happens with a friend and her ex. So she's just having like a really bad time. And through work, she knows a guy who's a lawyer. And they become friends. And through their friendship, they become more than friends. And he seems like the perfect, you know what I'm saying? The perfect guy. Like everything is going good between them. But she makes a mistake. She makes a mistake, and it leads him to believe, like, listen, maybe you're not ready for this, you know? So then he breaks up with her, and then the old guy comes back. And throwing a kidnapping, all right, throwing a little bit of suspense.
Very soap opera.
It's a three book series, and it takes three books for her. The first book was just meeting the two guys. The second book was her kind of trying to figure out who she is and what she wanted, because now both of these guys are kind of like in her ear, like, I'm the better guy for you. And she's just like, I don't know, do I even want either one of you guys? And then by the end, she picks, but she meets her mother again. She figures out why her mother left her in the first place. She kind of comes into her own. So yeah, it's very soap opery, very epic saga. She's in different countries, mystery going on. So I mean, I think my love of soap operas, and like I told you, that first bodice ripper, like I had this whole dramatic story in me that had to come out.
The drama. There's
So
a lot
much
of
drama, girl.
drama. So you said three books. So
Three books.
did you know going into this that you were going to have this be a three book series, or were
No,
you just like
because I didn't know that a cliffhanger was like a fatal mistake. Because the book was, that was the end, you know what I'm saying? And people, like I said, I wasn't really online. And then a friend of mine was like, girl, they are talking about you in this book club. So I'm thinking when she said book club, it was like maybe 10, 15 people. I go in this group, there is like 900 people in this group. And somebody read the book and she was like, girl, this book, I fell asleep with the book. The Kindle was on my face. I couldn't stop reading it. Mm. So now I have all these people coming to me like, where is this next part? Like, what do you mean? You know, who does she choose and what happens? And I'm like, I didn't think anybody was going to read this book. I didn't even know anybody would find me. Like, I had no idea. I think the first day I sold, I gave a freebie for the first day because, like I said, I just wanted it out there. Mm-hmm. And within the first couple hours, like 1,000 people downloaded it. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. So I had to, you know, finish up this story. And initially the second book was like 150,000 words. And somebody's like, girl, that is way too long. That is just insane. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I was just out here. So then I broke it up. So that's why it's 3 books.
So this was way back in like 2013. So this was like early landscape of like Kindle and e-publishing and self-publishing and all of that. So what were some, first of all, what were some lessons that you learned in publishing these first few books in this particular series?
Well, first also was editing.
Okay,
because that was atrocious. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that first book, I don't know how anybody wrote it. How did y'all read it? I don't know how they read it. Terrible. Like, I had a friend who was an English major. And it's, you know, when you have friends do something, I think she was just trying to be nice. And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is good. She fixed a few things, but there were a lot of things that, you know, like certain language, the tone of the book, you know, just certain things like context editing, all that stuff that I had to eventually read it again. And then I got feedback from a couple people and I wound up having to go back and like fix it and update the book. Mm-hmm. The cover, I did it in paint, you know, like I had no plan.
Wow, not paint, girl.
Paint.
That was a long time ago. Jeez.
I gotta find, I think I have one of them old covers around here. I'm gonna find, I'm gonna send you that picture. Microsoft Paint. And I was just like so shocked that people were taking this book serious because it was a hot mess. But I also learned to not let people influence too much of your process. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got way too involved with all these groups, you know, readers, authors. And because I was new, everybody's like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. Hurry up and write this book, you know? So I'm rushing to get book two out where, I mean, it took me 5 years to write book one. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I should have taken a little bit longer than 3 months to write book two.
Right. Right.
It was just to streamline your own process. And, you know, yeah, of course you have your beta readers and your ARC readers and, you know, people are involved where you need them to be involved, but you can't really do things based off what other people tell you.
Yeah, that is super, super true. So you said when you first started out, you were really raw.
Mm-hmm.
You really, like, didn't know anything about self-publishing or editing or anything like that. How did you kind of, you know, was it like on the job training, or was it more like, okay, let me seek out mentorship, let me seek out community, let me seek out folks who kind of can show me the ropes on how to be a better self-published author?
So I wound up in this author group. It was called Author 101. Mm-hmm. And it was over 100 authors in there that literally, like, we shared everything. So people were sharing cover artists, they were sharing editors, you know, where you can get formatting, where you could get this, where you can get these questions answered. Hey, this happened to me. Has this happened to you? So, like, literally, if you had a problem with uploading, form, anything was in that group. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm talking about, like, Brittany Cherry was in this group. Danielle Allen was in this group.
Wow.
A lot of people who kind of just exploded. So we all kind of were in there percolating together. So that really helped me because now it helped me to see things from a professional versus maybe this was a hobby that you tried to get into. And it's like, no, if you really try to be out here selling books, you need to come at it from this aspect.
Right.
So that's what changed everything for me.
Right. So from there, publishing this first series, getting mentorship, learning kind of the on-the-job training with other authors. When you started the next book for the next series, how did your approach differ from that to when you started the first book?
The next book was actually a novella that I did for an anthology. Mm-hmm. So that one, there was a specific idea, there was a specific deadline, there was a specific word count. So, I mean, I think that's probably like the easiest, that was the easiest project ever because mm-hmm. I knew exactly what it was. It was supposed to be some type of forbidden romance. And once I got the idea in my head, I just, boom, you know, that one was out. And then because it was an anthology, someone else was doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. So that gave me a little bit more of a, like, okay, I could breathe here. I don't have to worry about. And I think I was still kind of writing the third book of the first series. So it gave me time to focus on that. But then the next series, I actually co-wrote with another author. And that was, those books aren't even out right now because we took them down. We said we were going to revamp them, whatever. But it was this corporate hitman trilogy.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that was cool because, you know, she's usually like a paranormal shifter girly. And, you know, I was a romance girly. But I had this, you know, because of the company I worked for, I had this corporate hitman idea that came in.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, you know, we should do this. So we did that. Love those books. But like I said, it was just like a time. I don't know. It was something about that time period where everything was like, it was like the Wild Wild West. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, once you got an idea, you just ran with it. And then after the fact, you were like, maybe you could have thought that out a little bit better. You know?
always after the fact, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wound up actually taking a break. I think after that, I did one more little novella for like Valentine's Day. And then I was like, all right, I was just doing too much. Like I said, I was in too many groups. I was talking to too many people. I was disappointed in the sales from the Hitman trilogy because, you know, we didn't get to promote it the way we had planned to. And so I just kind of got very disillusioned and I probably dropped off for like 7 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I didn't even check my Facebook, the Olivia Linden, because, you know, that's my pen name. So I didn't even go on there. Like when I went back in there, there were emails and stuff and DMs from like 7-8 years ago. People were like, hey, you good? What's going on?
So dropped off. So what did you do?
Right,
what did you do in the meantime, in between time, when you were had this big 7-year hiatus?
I've just focused more on me, focused more on, you know, I moved back up to New York because my grandmother, she had dementia. Mm-hmm. So I came back up here to help out with that. I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kept on like writing. I still have I don't know if we talked about it on One of Our Lives. I have so many stories that some have 20,000 words, some have, you know, 10. Yeah. So I was still writing. I just wasn't in the mindset to deal with publishing, you know. And I think 2021, I started writing again. I started writing urban fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another book that I had started back in 2014. And then, you know, when I fizzled out, that story just kind of stalled. And I was like, you know what, let me go ahead and finish this up. So finished it, but again, I really wasn't in the mindset to publish. So I literally published it, promoted it for a couple months, and then dropped back off.
That was the Out of Luck book, right?
That's Out of Luck, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So you can tell it's like, I think 5-6 people read it.
Say that. Somebody else read that, girl.
So Then writing book two, because that's a two-part series. Writing book two is where the R&B series came into my mind. And not just the book, but the whole plan. It was like, all right, this time you know what to do. You're gonna do it right. You're gonna write it. You're gonna let it sit for a minute. You're gonna come back. You're gonna get it edited. You're gonna get feedback on it. You're gonna promote it for a certain amount of time before you drop it. You're gonna start book two before you even drop book one so that you don't feel this pressure. So that one, I had it in like book two. I had the arc, the beta readers. Like I had everything planned out completely different. And I attacked the promotion different. So I feel like I had a rebirth with this series. Like a lot of people think it's my first book, Forever My Lady. And I'm like, kind of.
No, you've been out here been killing it for, I mean, you've been out here for like at least 10 years doing the thing. Yeah. So do you, and then not only that, during this kind of period of time, social media has changed dramatically since you published that first book. So how has social media and the TikToks and the Instagrams and all that, how has that helped with the promotion of your book and the writing and the community around self-publishing for you?
I fell in love with TikTok because, like I said, when I came out, I tried to do Facebook again. And Facebook, like, if you haven't used your account is in the no man's land. Nobody's seeing anything. You know what I'm saying? So I'm posting, I'm posting, I'm posting, and nobody is interacting. I'm like, hello, hello, hello. Like,
Anybody out
is
there?
anybody out there? And I had a TikTok because I'm one of those people, like if social media is there, I'm gonna have it. I want to see what's going on. So with TikTok, I found that, I mean, with the littlest video, I could get more engagement. So I said, okay, let's just try the TikTok. So even without a luck, I mean, I got a lot of engagement on a couple of the, two or three posts that I did. And I was like, I like this. So when I said, okay, I'm gonna promo this R&B series, I jumped back on TikTok October of 2023. And I was like, all right. And immediately, like, it didn't even take that long to meet a few people. And then it was like, okay, there's this whole community here. And I mean, it was unreal because I said, wow, this happened so fast. And it's so interactive. TikTok, if it's a hit or a miss immediately. Facebook, you could post something and over time people are still talking to you. And TikTok is like, boom, you post it today, 85 people talk to you today. Then you move on. It's like, all right, now what's next? So it kind of keeps you on your toes, like to just be in that zone, like, okay, we got to keep doing stuff. So
I know you said before when you were engaging with social media and folks on Facebook and author groups, you just felt overwhelmed and compelled to like be so kind of in the midst of things. How is it different this time around with TikTok and Insta and everything versus, 10 years ago when you were, in the social media landscape? Do you feel that same kind of pressure to interact with readers or other authors or anything like that?
No, I think it's easier. I think the interaction is easier because we're all right here. You know what I'm saying? There, I think back 10 years ago, there was still this like little divider, like I'm an author and you guys are readers. And I mean, and even authors had this attitude, like, oh, they say stay out of reader spaces, right? So it's like that's why we had all these author groups so that we could talk, because you couldn't really talk in the other groups, right? Because the minute you said anything about yourself, it's like, oh, it's self-promotion, oh, you're talking about yourself, you're trying to influence us to buy your book. So it was different. Now I have a few key people that I associate with, and I won't even say associate because I like everyone. But as far as like talking, personally, I'm not gonna be in ever in another group with 100 people. You know what I'm saying? Like that's never happening again. You know what I'm saying? So I actually prefer it because it's less anxiety. You know what I'm saying? You when you're with that many people online, everybody doesn't like you. Everybody doesn't rock with you, but you're out here having these conversations and you don't know who's taking it the wrong way, who's taking this back to their little group, who's doing this. And then, you know, it gets real messy because now people having cliques and beefs, and you're like, what? Because, you know, I don't know if it's the introvert thing, but authors be, they be in some mess.
Yeah.
So there's none of that. None of that. It's just like, hey, you know, you click with a few people. It's like, hey, let's work together. Let's do stuff. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then interacting with the readers, like I tell everybody, if you want to come in my DMs, come in, because, you know, one-on-one, I could gauge, like, you know, some people you're like, okay.
Right.
And then other people, you know, like I have some people and they're like, anything you do, I'll buy it. You know, I loved your books and you're auto buy now. And I'm like, oh, wow, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I'm focusing on, like, I guess, real connections, building real connections versus being this person that I know 1,000 people. No, you don't.
You don't. You don't know. Yeah. 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 So let's talk about the R&B series. And Forever My Lady is very popular on the Bookstagrams and the TikTok and Book Talk and stuff like that. First of all, where'd you get the idea from? What was the impetus for the series? And how much kind of like romance world building did you have to do to kind of craft these stories?
So doing the urban fic, I liked it because it gave me the opportunity to focus on more of a story, because that wasn't really romance driven, that story. And I realized I missed the romance. And I also wanted something that didn't really have any drama. All my books, there's drama from day one to, you know, the last day. You know what I'm saying?
So, and cliffhangers.
And cliffhangers and all types of stuff. So I was like, I just wanted, like, literally the feedback I'm getting. I wanted a cute little romance, nothing crazy. And I thought about this friends group. And I said, okay, it's going to be R&B songs. Every book is going to be an R&B song. And, you know, depending on the couple, you know, the first one is a second chance romance. Mm-hmm. The second one is a friends to lover. Mm-hmm. The third and the fourth actually got switched because people wanted to know more about one particular person. So now she's the third book, which is another friends to lover. But you know how R&B, you can have a book or a romance, I should say, R&B songs, you can have a really, like, I'm in love with you, girl, and you're my world. And then you can have the girl, I really want you, give me a chance. And then you can have the baby, baby, please, I messed up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. So it was just that kind of concept, like having an R&B series. These books could all be about different aspects of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of where I was going. And it was like, and that's kind of like an umbrella, because if I wanted to come up with more stories under that umbrella, eventually it would be there. So, yeah. But I mean, again, like the first book, like Jada Hearst, this idea just came. I just had to write it down. It was just there, like, oh, R&B. Okay, four books. The books were all plotted out at the same time. I did the covers. They were all done before I even started writing. Like, I'd never been this organized with any of my stories before.
Wow. What do you think made the difference, like, in terms of, like, this idea just kind of just popping into your head and you being so organized and driven?
Because I think I acted on it immediately. I didn't wait. You know, a lot of the other ideas, like the first book, it took me 5 years. That hot and ready idea, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you act on something, when it's right there, I think that's just, you're in that flow. So it just, as it's flowing, it's just coming out, you know, whatever was in me, wherever that idea came from, the source, whatever, it was just giving me everything I needed in that moment. And I was going with it versus stalling, waiting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, sometimes you kind of lose the spark and then you're trying to chase that spark. And I think that's where, like, a lot of frustration comes in sometimes with writing. So instead of doing that, I just went with it. I sat there for my lady. I think I wrote it in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And like I said, the reception to it has been really good. Like I said, online, I see a lot of people posting it in their faves, putting it up in, like, you know, different, you know, Second Chance Romance, blogs
Mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. You know, when they have the little girl, oh, you know, they had a little Instagram images and TikTok images of books and all these things like that. So I know you say you're not in reader spaces anymore, but you have to know like what the reception has been to the book. Like, how have you found overall the reception to be to the book? And, you know, what is the one aspect of the book that readers are really drawn to?
It's so funny. People are like, why are you so surprised? Didn't you love this book? And I'm like, yeah, but you never know how people are going to respond to it.
Yeah, you know.
So, the fact that I have people saying it's their favorite romance, I'm like, wow, okay. I guess I was really feeling that, that romantic vibe. It's like unreal. Sometimes I see the book cover and I'm like, that's your book, crazy. Like, you got a comment. That's your butt, really? It's crazy to me. It's like, wow, all right, it's exciting. I'm very excited. And I think the most feedback I'm getting is the men and how they're loving on the FMCs, the kind of, because it is, there's no other women. They're the only one, you know what I'm saying? And he's, no matter what, you could be a good girl, you could have an attitude, no matter what you got going on with you, he's decided he wants you and he's gonna woo you. And it's nothing crazy or over the top. And I think that's what people are getting pulled in by. It's like, wow, this is possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that my man could be doing right now. Like, baby, why are you not doing this?
Slide it to him and be like, hey, you need to read this.
Read Forever My Lady and come back and let's discuss. And
Yeah.
then the spice. I think because the covers are kind of cute, people don't expect that there's gonna be, and there's, I'm still gonna give you a little heat. So.
Let's talk about a little bit about process and how you write. What is a typical writing day schedule look like for Olivia? And are you plotting? Are you pacing? Are you outlining? I know you said you kind of outlined this last series, but typically, what does a typical writing schedule look like for you? Where are you? What time is it? What does that look like for you?
So my typical writing is in the evenings, later at night. I might be up all night, you know what I'm saying? Depending on what I have to do, what my schedule is looking like, or whenever I could find the time. I don't have a real schedule. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend. Like, I would love to say, oh, I write every day. No, I don't. I wanna write every day. I'm trying to get more disciplined because that's really my biggest struggle is just being disciplined and sitting down and saying, I'm gonna do this. So that's why I kind of like these writing sprints because it keeps me in that mode. But I plot the book. Like I said, I plot everything out, but tell me if that plot's gonna last. Tell me if that idea is gonna work. No, as I'm writing, the story's changing. So I write like a chapter at a time, then I go back and read it, and then I'm like, okay, I like it. Then I go back and read the book from the beginning just to make sure it's flowing the way I want it to flow, and then I write the next chapter. So, and then the music is really the big part. I need the music. Like, the R&B series is R&B music, so I have all these playlists with songs that are dedicated like to that particular story. So like the second book was way more sexy than the first book. So though there was a lot more, Fenin and Jodeci and you know what I'm saying? Like
The bedroom booming.
everyone, exactly. But yeah, and then once I get in it, it flows. So I think for most days, a good writing day for me is maybe 2,000 words. Sometimes it could be 5,000, or like I'll have a weekend that I'll dedicate and I'm like, all right, we gotta knock it out in this weekend. And I might do a good 25, maybe 30, depends. So
I
I'm
mean,
like a binge writer.
I do the same. I mean, yeah, I definitely do the same. Yeah, especially because like you and I, we both have kids and things like that and other obligations, so it's kind of hard to balance the time and find the time to do that. So that being said, like, How do you balance that personal time with the writing time and your own professional career?
Well, I'm in a very interesting space right now because my son is 21, so
Oh, he
he doesn't
grown.
bother me. Yeah, he doesn't bother me.
He grown. Mm-hmm.
But when he's home, though, I tend to, because he's in school and he's working, so like when he's off, he's in my face. It's like, mommy, 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 mommy. I'm like, okay. But you know what? To be honest, like, it's always been me and him, and we're very interesting. He's very much like me, so he needs his little space. So like when I was writing, he was gaming, so we had times of the day where we would reconnect with each other and be all up in each other's face, and then boom, back to your separate corners. So I always kind of was able to just write whenever I want to. But professionally, I'm a project manager. I work from home. So some days I just have free time. You know what I'm saying? So on those are the days where I'll say, okay, let me get the laptop and let me binge. And I think it's, for me though, I gotta be in a creative mind space, because it's two different, being professional business and being creative is two different people. And so it's kind of hard to just switch it on and off. Like, oh, I'm not working right now this second, let me write. Nah, because I'm still thinking about that email, or I'm still thinking that, the phone might ring. I can't just get lost in my, R&B world. So, even though some days I may not have like a lot on the work plate, if I'm in that work mindset, I'm not gonna be writing.
You can't concentrate on that.
Yeah.
So writing is a really solitary and long process. And oftentimes we get stuck with writer's block and things like that. How do you break through those writer's blocks? And like when you're like in the weeds, what are some things you do to kind of come out of
I started kind of talking to myself
that?
like, girl, listen, we've been through this before, okay? And we're not doing this again, because 7 years, you took a 7-year break. There's no more breaks for you, okay? Like, you get a couple days, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you put out 2 books in less than 6 months, okay? You could take a little breath, but you have 2 more books to finish this series out, minimum. And it's literally like you don't really have time. You don't need a break. What do you need a break for? You might need some time to let the story marinate a little bit, because maybe what you thought of is not how it's going to be. But just stay in it. Stay in that, because you don't want to lose, like, that spark. You don't want to lose a spark. If it's still here, you don't want to lose it, because then what you're going to do? You're going to have to try to recreate the magic. So it's a little tough love that I'm giving myself right now.
Love for yourself. So when you're writing, what are like some of the most difficult scenes or things to kind of craft in a good romance for you?
I think it's the parts of the book that kind of move the story forward. So like the love, the sex and the love scene, those are the easiest parts. I can write those all day long. The dialogue is easy for me, because I love to like banter with people. So, I'm here going back and forth. But it's the getting the picture that I have in my mind on the in-between parts that people need to get the grasp of the full story, especially like this book. These books have a lot of flashbacks, because a lot of the story took place when they were in college. So there's things that you needed to know that happened that's not happening in real time. So it's like how to navigate that without people feeling like you're pulling them out of,
Out of the story.
out of the story. That's the harder parts. And then the style, like, because I think I focus more on getting the story out, and then I go back and put the sense of humor and the prose and everything in it. So it's always just trying to make sure that I'm being consistent, because I think there are several writing styles. I have different styles in me. And so to make sure that I'm not writing in cursive here and then writing in print here. Going, over here. So just maintaining that consistency.
That's true. That's true. So when you're like trying to market these stories. I know you said the last time the marketing didn't kind of like work out for you the way you wanted to. What has been the key to successful marketing of these books, particularly this R&B series? Because like I said, I've seen it everywhere. So what has been the most successful part about marketing these particular books?
I think I had a real vision, and instead of sticking to it, I'm like learning how to move. You know, something's not working. It's like, all right,
And be
switch.
more fluid about it, right?
Being more open to change versus like, oh, I had this planned out and had this plan out, and I'm going with this plan, and this plan is not working, girl. What are you doing? Let it go. So, you know, like, it, of course, like I said, being on TikTok and seeing, like, you know, TikTok is kind of easy because there's trends, you know, so you could literally, if you want to just do trends all day, or, you know, like, I had to realize you might have to come on here and talk to people. I was like, okay, let me come on here and start talking to people that way, you know?
And that's hard for most authors to do.
But because I think I love the story so much, like, honestly, they were the first. I mean, out of luck, I'm proud of that book and I stand behind it, but it's not my normal genre. So I'm always a little bit like, I mean, is it urban fic really? Is it urban enough? It's not like, you know, some of the other urban fics. It's like urban fic light, you know what I'm saying? Like diet urban fic. So I don't really,
It's
I'm like, I'm
like
gonna get back to that.
BT and then BT plus.
Exactly. So, but these books, I love these books. And I think that's really the difference. Like, it's just everything about them. I love them. I stand on them. There's nothing that I want to go back and change. There's nothing like I'm reading these books over and over again, like, girl, you really like, I'm really in love with my own books.
Yeah, you did
You
that.
know? So it makes it easier to kind of promote them because it's like, well, I love them so much. And it's not like I'm trying to just get you to do something that I'm not 100% behind. Like, I'm 100% behind these stories. So it's so much easier to promote them.
Yeah, when you love the work that you're putting out, it is to promote it because you're in love with the characters, you love the story, you've crafted something that you can be like super duper proud of versus going through the motions. And just, okay, let me just get this story out. I know it's not going the way I want it to, but let me just get it out, put it out, and just see what happens. Like that's you know it's not genuine. It doesn't feel genuine. Just pick up on that too. Like the disingenuousness of the art that you're putting out. I think readers definitely pick up on that too. And so when you're putting out, like you said, work that you're proud of. And you can stand behind and readers, are easy to like rally for you and get behind you. So what is there, are there any tropes or things that you were like, this R&B series is really good to like explore this particular trope or that particular trope? Or do you feel like some stuff is just kind of like off limits for this particular series that you have kind of planned out?
So, all right, before really getting into TikTok and seeing how people feel about tropes, because now, you know, I had a trope. I mean, I guess I could say because I don't think I'm gonna use it. I had a pregnancy trope. But it wasn't the typical pregnancy trope. You know what I'm saying? It was like basically, could you love another man's child type trope. And I mean, I don't know, I still might, because that for some reason that was really speaking to me. So I think that it was one of the books. There was only one of them that I really was thinking about the trope over everything else. I'm like, oh, you don't really do this? Like, how are people going to respond to this? I'm asking men in real life. I'm like, okay, so if you meet a woman and she's pregnant for someone else, but y'all didn't find that out for a few months and you already have feelings for her, are you going to be there for her? You know, what if the husband died? Like, what you going to do? Would you be there? I was getting mixed. Like, some guys were like, I mean, you know, I would stand by her. And then, you know, other people like, nah, man, take care. And I'm like, well,
Lord.
y'all don't know romance anyway. So,
You're asking the wrong man.
Yeah, so I did. I was entertaining it, and then I started seeing videos talking about people hate the pregnancy trope. I was like,
I
ooh.
think it depends. I think it depends on how it's done. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like secret pregnancies, like had babies and then like 21 years later,
Right.
even though Tatiana, shame, 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 you about to do something similar in another book. But anyway,
Right.
but it's not like a really a secret. But anyway, I think I'm giving too much away. So, yeah, some people hate it, but I think depending on the circumstance of the plot around it, I think it can be done quite well. I mean, come on now, we grew up on soap operas and stuff like that. Secret Baby Amnesia and
All of that.
4 Proximity was like number 1, 2, and 3. Then that was in all the soap operas. So
Girl,
you
I'm still watching
gotta
General Hospital, all right?
yeah.
People dying and then coming back to life. You're like, wait,
Yeah.
sometimes you done disappeared and came back. Like,
Yes, we ought to be used to that. Yeah, exactly. With all the folks on Days of Our Lives. I think it depends. It depends on what you do. So can you tell us what's next in the series? Like what are
So,
you working on next?
book three is one of it's four main characters, four main girls. They're all best friends. So, book three is about the kind of the wild child, the one that she wasn't in a relationship in college, and she was very determined about her business and what she wanted to be after graduation. So, she was just like, relationship, I don't have time for that. But there's this one friend, and everybody's been asking about her and this friend. What's up with you and homeboy? What's up with y'all? Why y'all, y'all do everything together? Y'all so close. People are picking up this vibe between her and the friend. And now that they're grown, and now that you are entering into relationships with people, you're realizing, is the friend the person that I'm supposed to be with? Because I don't feel the way I feel with this person, with my, that I feel with my friend. And how can I be in a relationship with you if I have way more feelings for this person? Like, everything good happens to me and I'm putting you on pause. We're here together and I'm putting you on pause so I could go call my friend. So now people have navigated their ways into relationships and all types of situations, and you're realizing, oh no, I think I'm in love with homeboy.
The homeboy gotta be in love with you too.
And homeboy's in love. They both. It's just, never been at the right place at the right time. So, it's like we're gonna have to create our right place and right time because, are we gonna let this pass us by? And we 80 years old looking at each other like, and you're in the same friends group, so you have to keep seeing this person. And every time you see this person, you get these feelings. So.
Oh, the girls gonna eat that up. They gonna eat that up.
This one's a
They
little
gonna
bit messy. This is not, it's not a really cute story
Oh,
like
is it
the
like a love triangle?
kind of.
Sort
It's
of.
like a square almost. It's almost a
Square.
square.
Okay. I'm not gonna ask no more. I'm
is...
gonna wait for the book come out. Square. Girl. Is it the oath part too? Is it a square, girl?
No, not like that. Not like that.
Oh Lord, I don't know what my book was. I don't even know it was no square. It was a rhombus. I don't know.
That was a rhombus. For real, girl. You had
But
me literally in my mind. I was like, whoa.
this ain't about me. This is about you. All right, so let's do a little rapid fire questions. We'll
Okay.
ask you some questions, and you just give me the first answer that comes on your the top of your head. So, your favorite book as a kid?
I'm gonna have to say Sweet Savage Love. I was too small to be reading it, but I read that. That was my book.
Okay. Do you like writing heroes or villains?
Ooh, heroes.
Okay. Love scenes or dramatic arguments?
Love scenes.
Your favorite place to write.
On the couch.
Okay. Book reviews to read or not read.
What you mean?
Like, do you want to, do you read the
Oh, I
book?
read them. I
Oh,
read
you
them.
don't read the book. Okay, you
Yeah.
read. Okay. The last romance novel that you read.
The last one that I read, what did I just read? Oh my God, why don't I know the name of this book? And Then Everything Was Beautiful. Yeah.
And we already know the answer to this. M music, it helps you write. What's on a typical playlist for you, or does it depend?
Actually, I'm gonna surprise you. It depends. It depends. It depends on the book. Some of my books got a little punk rock on there. You know what I'm saying? Little country music on there. So sometimes I need classical music depending on what the scene is. But for the most part, R&B.
Do you have a frequently used word that you use in your writing?
Despite.
Despite. Okay.
I had to catch myself on that one.
If your book became a movie, who would you want to play the lead?
I mean, I show this guy all the time. In Forever My Lady, of course, his name is just gonna go right. Da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
Do you watch BMF?
No.
Okay. Did you see Mary J. Blige had those movies, Strength of a Woman, and it was like a
Yeah, I saw
two-part.
that. I saw that. He's
Yeah,
the
so
young boy.
yeah, the
Okay,
boyfriend.
yeah, I know
Yeah.
him. All right. Thank you. Okay.
Him, and then who would the girl be? I mean, in the book I said she was a young Nia Long. So, I mean, Nia's not young anymore, but in a perfect world, it would be young Nia Long.
I don't know if we even have a young Nia Long equivalent
Right. That's what I'm saying. I
this
can't think of
generation.
anyone. I mean, or it would be the girl that played opposite. So, okay, you didn't. In Strength of a Woman, the girl who played the girl, yeah, those two, that couple, they could do it.
Where do you see romance going in the next decade? Where would you like to see it go in the next decade?
Oh, that's interesting. I think I would like to see, I mean, I know I'm probably gonna get booed and stoned, but I think I would like to see like more romance. I think romance is being stretched, and it's good. It's I'm not against it. It's being stretched into a lot of different areas right now. But some books that I pick up and I'm reading, which they're good books, but I'm questioning where the romance is in the actual book. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Give me some examples. Not examples of the book, but just examples of what you mean.
okay, so I feel like some books highlight a lot more women's issues, a lot more like there's a couple of books that I've read that I loved them, but I think they're more women's fiction. They're not really, because the romance is like the afterthought. It wasn't the main idea of the book. So, you know, I would like to see more actual romantic gestures from the men in the book. More, you know, flirting, touching, you know, just those things, like those things that give you the feels, you know, versus like just telling me that, you know, this person wants to be with this person. It's like, okay, but what do you like about them? You know, like I want to get lost in this romantic,
Like journey,
yeah, you know, so
okay, that's controversial.
it's a little bit,
That's controversial. Okay, so finally, when it's all said and done, and you've written like a million books, and Forever My Lady gets picked up for like a movie, what do you want readers to say about the romance that you crafted? A, and what does literary success look like to you?
So what I would want readers to say is that the books made them feel good, because that's my goal, is to make you feel, you know, make you have those googly-eyed feelings. I want you to have the hearts coming out of your eyes when you're done. I want you to be like, oh, you know. And literary success is to have that catalog, is to look back and have a catalog with, 20 plus books that if somebody comes across Olivia Linden, they can jump in and be like, oh my gosh, she has like these, I just read 5 of her books and I love all of them. That's to me, that's literary success. Of course, I could say, I want to be New York Times bestseller. But I would still feel successful if I accomplished my goal of putting out the work that I have planned to put out. And if 20 people read it and they love it and they're like, oh, we're going to buy all your books, then I feel like that's success, because that's 20 people that didn't know about me before that, are getting into my work. So if I could look back and go anywhere and see Olivia Linden and have a list, that's my goal.
Awesome. And this isn't on the list, but I just thought about this. I want to ask, what's that one piece of advice you would give to indie authors who are just starting out?
Have a plan. It may not go the way that you want it to go, but at least know what you're going into. Have a plan. Have a rough, rough draft of your, what's your goal? What am I here to do? If you're just here to write stories and it's a passion, cool. But if you have a goal that you have, if there's anything that you have in mind that you want to get from it, whether it's money, whether it's accolades, whatever, then have some sort of plan on how you're going to get there.
Right. Absolutely. So, Olivia, you talked about the R&B series. What else is next for you on the horizon?
I've got to finish up this Urban Fic story. Part 2 is halfway done, so eventually that's going to come. I have a kind of murder mystery, dark romance type idea that I'm playing with. So, I'm talking about more romance, but I also have some stories that
that aren't exactly romance.
They're not going to be your typical, but the romance, the one thing with my stories, that romance is always going to be in there. That tension, that push pull, that what's going on, that's always going to be in there. So, I have a lot of stories. I have a lot of stories coming up.
And we are definitely looking forward.
Thank you.
All of them and consuming them all, and all of your backlist as well. So where can we find you on social media, and where can we purchase all of your books?
So social media, I am Olivia Linden on TikTok, Olivia Linden author on TikTok, Olivia Linden on Facebook, Via Linden on Instagram. But if you search Olivia Linden, I'll still come up. And what else is there? That's pretty much my main three. Queen of Vibes, VIBEZ is my website, queenofvibes.com. And all my books are on Amazon.
Yes, and the podcast.
Oh, and my Lit Ladies Lounge. Come check me out, Lit Ladies Lounge on YouTube and Spotify.
Give us a little brief rundown of Ladies
Lounge. So, Lit Ladies Lounge is me and my author, Boo, J.R. Mason. She is, she's written a thriller series, and she also did kind of like it's not really fiction because it was her life. She wrote a book about her dating life, 2 books. And super funny. So when I saw her, I told her I felt like a dude. I saw her on TikTok and I was like, I'm gonna have to slide up in her DMs. start commenting on her stuff, like, hey. And after a conversation, I was like, you want to do a podcast? And she's like, what? Fine, I'll do the graphics. I'm like, oh, okay. So we just, she has one component, I have the other. We just came together. But we call it the Lit Ladies Lounge because, of course, we're authors. So we're going to have other authors on. So we talk about books, but we also talk about almost anything. So like Mea Culpa came out, we talked about it. We talk a lot about relationships. Both of us have a million stories of crazy relationship things gone wrong, so we talk a little bit about everything. So like May is I believe Mental Health Awareness Month, so we're gonna have episodes on that.
Okay.
yeah
Awesome. Well, Olivia, you are a busy lady. A whole lot. Plus, you've given us some good books to read. So thank you so much for coming on the
Thank
podcast.
you.
This was so fun.
It was. I appreciate you. You got to come to the Lit Ladies Lounge
I
too.
will be there. I will be there. If there is an invite, I shall be there.
It's
So thank you
coming.
so much for coming on Romance and Color. This was really, really fun.
Thank you, Tati.
Hi everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Romance and Color featuring author Olivia Linden. It was a sweet little bonus in between our regularly scheduled programs. In the meantime, if you have want to know more information about Olivia and her series, go visit her website, Queen of Vibes. That's Queen of Vibes with a Z.com. And you can take a look at her newest series, the RV series, featuring the books Forever My Lady and Given a Chance. Again, I'm Tati Richardson, one half duo of the rest of Romance and Color. And we will be back next week for our regularly scheduled program. So you all take care, God bless, and enjoy.